We take the scriptures and turn to Revelation. Revelation 11. And we'll be reading this morning verses 3 through 14. Revelation 11, verses 3 through 14. This is the word of the living God. And I will grant authority to my witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemies. So if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will sing gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Now, remember last week that we have the context here of the true church, the true people who are of God being measured as part of the temple, and all else. Those of the outer court, those of Jerusalem, all else are coming under the judgments of these seven trumpets. And we have now two witnesses, it says. There are many who will take these two witnesses and rip them out of the context and make bold statements as to who these two witnesses are. But in the context, what is the context? The context is the true church, the people of God, the true people of God. And Luke 10:1 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So that here, in Revelation 11, the church is functioning through its ministers, its missionaries, its officers. And they will be carrying on the work of prophesying and preaching and evangelizing for 1260 days. And this is the symbolic number for the days between Christ's ascension and the seventh trumpet, which we'll see next week, Lord willing, and that is the final judgment. The number is equal to the time of the 42 months we saw in verse 2. And the time of affliction, it's the time of persecution. And what we learn here is that it's the time of the present gospel age. The gospel's going forth. Other places it says it's the time of the present evil age. These witnesses, that's the church, are clothed in sackcloth to symbolize the message that they preach. They preach the message of repentance. So they're clothed in sackcloth. Instead of creating what this says in our minds, We can see, like verse 5, that all who attempt to harm the true church as it carries the message of repentance, lest judgment comes to the others, to those who they're preaching to. You see that any of the world that does harm to the witnesses, to the church, the word of God which comes, which the church is preaching will come out like fire. And there will be fire that comes forth from those who preach. That is literally that the word that is preached is judgment to those who don't believe. And so fire, and there will be, it says, killed. They will be eternally judged. They will have eternal death if they do not heed and believe and repent. And they will come under that judgment at the final judgment. And then we see the beast comes forth from the abyss, verse 7, and so it's the anti-Christian world. Those who are not God's people, it's the world, and so near the end here they will stamp out the Christian witness for a time. There'll be a time when there's little to no preaching of God's word on the earth. For a time. And then the witness of the church will come back stronger than ever. And you see that it was only temporary in verse 11. Because the breath of life comes back into them. And the resurrection from the dead occurs. And they're not secretly raptured, as many think. They just vanish. But their enemies, the wicked, watch them. Verse 12. And on the eve of the final judgment, there is great destruction. That comes before the final judgment. There's many who are killed. The rest, though, who are not killed, the living wicked fear for their lives. And in so doing, they're brought to their knees to give glory to the God of heaven. That's the only thing they could do with such great destruction when it does come. Beloved, even though God's people may die on the earth, perhaps by persecution, suffering in our bodies, perhaps other ways, here is the resurrection. We'll be raised up on the last day. And the wicked, if you are not in Christ, the wicked, unless they repent, will be judged for all eternity. And so, let the message of the gospel go forth, particularly through the officers of the church, the pastors, elders, missionaries. But to all here who have the message, you have the message. You are called by God to go and tell the great works of the Lord. Tell them that people would repent and be saved. That in the midst of these judgments, beloved, you are protected here. Even when near the final judgment, you're protected even from these great destructions. Your soul will be delivered unto eternity with Jesus. Your bodies will be raised from the dead and given life. So let the message of the gospel go forth, that people would repent and people be saved. And if, you know, we looked at in John, there's different ways to evangelize, and some of that is inviting them to come here, to hear the word of God from this place. So we're being encouraged here to do that, so that people would repent. You look at your family members, you look at your friends, your neighbors. If you don't evangelize to them, if you don't tell them about the gospel, what you're saying is, I don't love you. I don't care about you. Do you love them? Do you care about them enough to tell them, and to give them the message that would save them from eternal death? Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you that, we have here a picture of the church, a picture of the prophesying that is done, especially through the officers of your church. We thank you that your word is pretty clear here to us. There's probably still some questions and about the symbolism and all that, Lord, but we pray that we would take this time as we go home today or in the coming weeks, Lord, that we would go home and that we would search the scriptures, that we would search the prophets in the Old Testament and the Gospels, which Revelation is so clearly based upon, that we would search them and find exactly what you're saying here. And it seems, based on the context, Lord, it's pretty clear that these witnesses are the church. and that your message goes forth, and it's calling people to repentance, and there's people who don't want to repent. There's wicked people out there who don't want to repent. And we've seen that in John and his gospel already, with Nicodemus and others, even John's disciples. Father, we ask that you would send that message through us, especially through the elders of this church. Send the message that as people hear, they would believe and repent, that they would be saved by Jesus, through Jesus, the source of eternal salvation, and be delivered into eternal life, having their bodies raised up on the last day because they're united to Christ. Lord, we pray that that would be true of us, as here these last few sections have been the period between the sixth trumpet and the judgments towards the wicked on this earth and the final judgment, the seventh trumpet, which is given to give us confidence and encouragement for those who are of the church, that we have the seal, that we are not of the wicked, and therefore we will not be destroyed. We will be raised up on the last day. Lord, give us confidence then, and assurance of our salvation. And those who struggle with assurance, Lord, give them assurance. And those who don't, continue to build that assurance to a stronger assurance by your Spirit. Lord, be with us now as we continue worshiping you. That you would embolden us to come before your throne of grace and worship you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.